Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
The 2-2 pitch. Swung on, line to right. A base hit for Stevenson. Marsh will score. Clemens will score. Cal with a slide at second. And yet another undiscovered hero for the Phillies as really? Cal Stevenson delivers a pinch hit. Hey. Two-run double, and the Phillies are back in front 6-4.
Welcome back, Midday Show. You know, I couldn't have been the only one thinking about it. When Cal Stevenson hit that double, Hugh, the only name that popped to my mind was Joe from the Northeast, who called us, and the afternoon show as well. I'd say for a month straight saying, they got to get Cal Stevenson up here.
Yeah, he did.
And his vindication was last night, and that was a big hit. This season really has had so many of those kind of out-of-nowhere players that have helped them win games.
Special moment contributors.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. It's Cody Clemens, Edmundo Sosa.
Johan.
Yeah, sure. I mean, he's helped him a lot. I mean, you go to Buddy Kennedy last night from Millville, New Jersey, or two nights ago, and now Cal Stevenson. It's been Spencer Turnbull early in the year. I mean, that's how you win 96 games and have the best record in baseball. You have one of those years. Big, big hit last night for Cal Stevenson. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to your phone calls here on the Phillies. Should they retaliate tonight? I say absolutely. Hugh doesn't want to do it. And Hassan Reddick, it's time for the Eagles to call the Jets up. Bring him back. Give him a contract. Give him some more money. You figure it out. I mean, the Eagles are great with the cap. They have $12 million in cap room. They can make this work if they want to. I think the Eagles need to bring Hassan Reddick back home here. All right, Hugh, but last night, along with all of the good in the win, there is some worry level here. First of all, the injuries continue to pile up. Can we hear from Kyle Schwarber? Kyle Schwarber, who got banged up last night, he left the game sliding back into first base, and they're calling it like an elbow contusion / hyperextension. Here's Schwarber after the game last night.
Where he says bruise, but hyperextension?
Like, yeah, this, I guess I just kind of hit it on the right spot, I guess, like diving back and didn't even feel pain or nothing, and it was just more when I got back to the dugout and I did like kind of like extended it, like, oh, that was weird, and then went down and took a swing and didn't feel good, so then I told the trainer and he worked on it a little bit, got better, and tried to let one rip and it just wasn't really cooperating.
Hugh, you ever have a hyperextension of your elbow?
I have not.
It seems like it's a thing where you don't even realize it's a problem, and then it just doesn't feel right for a while. That Bryce has had those before. I can't remember Schwarber having one. I mean, after the game, Topper said he doesn't think it's a long-term thing, and it might be back in the lineup today, so we'll see. But these little injury things keep popping up. Bohm hasn't played in, what, 2.5 weeks, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
JT hasn't played since the weekend, probably not going to play until this weekend. Schwarber, I mean, they've got Sosa's on the IL. They got a lot of guys with, like, these nagging little things. Not big things, Hugh, that are going to cost them the playoffs, but just – like, they're all banged up.
Yeah, it's not a good look, man. And it's one of those things where, you know, that's one of the main reasons why I want to not retaliate is because we have bigger fish to fry. We're trying to win a World Series. We got time to be playing around with these fools, man.
Yeah, Kyle, I had the fear last night. Like, they've won without so many players this year. Trey missed 6 weeks. They've been fine. You know, they've missed a lot of guys. JT for 2 months. The prospect of this team without Schwarber at the top of the lineup, it just like shook me. They can't win without it.
Well, especially now that Bryce Harper can't get out of the ballpark. Like, Schwarber is the only guy that you can rely on to hit a home run. And if this Phillies team isn't hitting for power, then we've seen what this offense can do for long stretches when they're not hitting for power like that. And Schwarber is the guy who starts all of that off. So I'm with you. I mean, in terms of like offensive MVPs, Schwarber's right up at the top.
Yeah, and by the way, last night he had set the record for most leadoff home runs in a season, now 14 after last night. The other thing last night I'm not even sure the word. Is it a mild concern? Is it a significant concern? Hugh, Ranger Suarez has not looked like the Ranger from the beginning of the year.
Yeah, he got touched up a little bit last night.
He had 12 hits last night.
Yeah, he got touched up a lot last night.
So if you go back and look at Rangers' numbers, and this sample is a long period, even though it's only a small sample of starts, his last 8 starts, but that goes back to the end of June.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's obviously IL time in between. But in his last eight starts, he has an ERA over six. Ranger Suarez just looks nothing like the pitcher
that he was early in the season.
I mean, we talked about him as a Cy Young guy early in the season, and he hasn't been that. I mean, he's back, so I assume he's healthy after the IL stints. Right now, Hugh, if the playoffs started today, and they don't, we have a few weeks, he's my fourth starter. I would go Wheeler, Nola, Sanchez, Suarez. He'd be my fourth guy. And in the beginning of the year, there was a question of if he was their first.
Yeah, and it's been tough for him. I know it's been a lot of an adjustment, but I feel like he has a couple weeks to try to get it right. He's going to get like one or two more starts, if I'm not mistaken,
could
correct?
Could be up to three or four, depending on how they do this at the end.
Yeah, and it all depends on how he comes out with those, man. I mean, but you know what? I guess the good you could take from this, like the bullpen is starting to roundabout.
It has been good.
Yeah.
I like the roundabout. It's roundabout.
Yeah, I said it wrong, but you know, it's like I had to just roll with it.
Sometimes you just do. No, yeah. The bullpen has been much better lately. Alvarado's looked good since he's come back. Kirkring's been good for a while. Strom and Hoffman are obviously very reliable. But the Ranger thing we got to keep our eye on. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go to Kenny from the Dirty 30.
Kenny!
What's up, Kenny?
No, I didn't.
Didn't what?
I meant, my son's birthday was yesterday, so I took the afternoon off.
He ain't talking to us.
Happy birthday to Kenny's son.
Hey, little Kenny.
Right now.
All right, we'll put Kenny back on hold. He's obviously in a different conversation. We wish the son a happy birthday. Terrence in Springfield. Hey, Terrence.
Hey, Joe, Kyle, what's up?
What up,
hey,
man?
Hey, Terrence.
Hey, I'm going to, we definitely still got to get payback. We got to get payback. I was telling Kyle, like, who is Tampa Bay? Like, they haven't done anything since we hit their ass in the World Series. So for them to go and hitting people, I do think we should get revenge because
All right, we'll try Terrence.
That's a double joke job by Terrence.
Now, the first one I'm going to put on him. The second one we'll put on his phone. But that's two strikes. It is a two-strike thing on Terrence there. Rob in Williamstown. Hey, Rob.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good, Rob. I'm glad we can hear you well. What's up, Rob? What are you feeling?
All right, so with Hassan Reddick, this guy has so much talent, and you have to also take into consideration that he wasn't used or implemented properly last year. That took away from his production as far as rushing the passer goes, and his numbers could have even been extremely better last year. He may even be getting better. You can't not take a guy with that much talent. I mean, Andy Reid takes talent over problem childs all the time, and you see how much success he has. You know, as long as this guy's not too much of a distraction in the locker room, you got to take him.
Well, Rob, I agree. And in terms of the distraction, because people have brought that up, that maybe he was the root of some of the problems last year, I think part of it was he wanted to get paid. So I don't think he's a bad dude. I don't at all. I actually think he was great on that 2022 team. If they pay him, I think all that stuff goes away.
But you remember last year also that they didn't use him properly.
Oh, yes, but Patricia was dropping him into coverage at the end of the season.
Exactly. Also want to touch on the game this past week and what my takeaways were real fast. Mm-hmm. I know that was your subject yesterday, but I didn't get a chance to call in. I have to say that I think that it's painfully obvious throughout the year last year from my observations. It was obvious to the San Francisco 49ers and probably some other teams who were afraid to vocalize what they said. I think it was painfully obvious in the first game this year that Jalen Hurts has difficulty reading defenses. So the solution is you play to player's strengths, right? Start to phase out the read option. He clearly either has it in his head what he's doing with the ball prior to snapping it because he doesn't – He always makes the wrong decision. He hands it to the running back gets creamed right there. He takes it himself, he gets creamed. And the other option would have been the better option. So he doesn't do very well with that real-time, in-the-game decision-making.
Yeah,
can I help you out real quick, Rob?
Go ahead, Rob.
Sure.
This ain't the week, I would say, to try to run with that narrative about him not being able to read defensively through for 278 yards. Now, he made some bad decisions, but I think that this is not the week where I would try to roll out the bad, you know, like he doesn't know how to read defenses narrative.
Here's what I'll say off this,
why
Rob.
Not?
Go ahead. Why
just,
not?
Why not?
I just told you.
Why? Why? Well, the 11th week last year was
no.
Was
I listen, Andy, Rob. Know? Rob.
Yeah. Well,
now I'm not talking about last year because, like I just said, the other night, Friday night, He was 20 for 34, 278 yards, and he had a quarterback rating of 80.3. That's not bad. That's not great, but that's not bad. So,
yeah,
like, wait a minute,
great.
Rob, calm down. Calm down, Rob. All I'm saying is this. I didn't tell you you had to change your point. The only thing I'm saying is this probably ain't the week to roll that narrative out there. That's all I'm saying. Maybe you should wait a little bit more.
I want to get that thing fixed now.
Rob, again, calm down. Stand down, yeah. Rob. It's cool. But what I'm saying is this. This is not the week for that.
So, and Rob, we appreciate the phone call. Here's what I'll say on that. And he obviously made some plays for you, and it's 278 yards down the field. The read option seems to be less effective these days.
It is.
Like 2 years ago, it felt like he always made the right decision. And like they were dictating the game to the mm-hmm. defense. Like if the end, you know, crashed down, he would hold in and run around the side, right? Or if the end went up the field, he'd hand it off to the back. And whatever they did in the read option 2 years ago, it always seemed to lead to a good play. I think defenses have picked up on something they're doing. It doesn't seem to be as effective. I don't know if it's him that's the problem with it, or maybe it just doesn't work anymore. Like maybe the league is caught up. We'll find out. All I know is that play in the fourth quarter where he nearly threw the pick. If you go back and watch it, Hugh, I'll show you on the break. It was a read option.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone thought he was going to hand it. Like Gainwell thought he was going to hand it. AJ didn't really run hard out of his break, and Jalen chose to throw it almost to an interception. Like for some reason, it's not tricking the defenses anymore.
Yeah, because it's one of those tendencies that. It's one of those, I guess I should say, a dog that's not hunting.
It's not hunting.
It's not hunting. I like, and I've said this, I think Jalen is more effective now than he was when he was running because it's one of those things where he's played and he's beat teams from the pocket.
So I agree. It might be that the case.
Yeah. But it's small sample size.
But if defenses don't respect the read option doesn't
but
work.
They're going to respect it because of Saquon Barkley, though.
215-592-9494. Coming up, Vic Fangio just spoke to the media, and he was very, very honest in some of his answers. What he said about the Devin White situation, and you got to hear what he said about Bryce Huff and why his snap count seemed a little low. That's next. Sports Radio 94 WIP. And join me tonight under the stars at Sunset Social in Center City for our next Goat Yards watch party with Philly Standard, the tailgate beer from Yards Brewing Company, and Kyle Schwarber. Cheer on Kyle as he takes on Tampa. Enjoy $5 Philly Standards and register for a chance to win the Kyle Schwarber Ballpark Experience. On-field batting practice, a meet and greet with Kyle, and tickets with me in the Yard Suite. It's tonight. Sunset Social in Center City. Yards Brewing Company. Made by Philly. Celebrate responsibly.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What was your assessment of the pass rush?
We didn't pass rush good enough overall in the game. You know, did the field have something to do with that? Yeah, it obviously did. But, overall, we couldn't get better there.
Vic Fangio talking today about the pass rush as the Eagles get ready for Week 2 against the Atlanta Falcons. Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio with you. All right, so Fangio speaking there. We'll get back to all your phone calls on Hassan Reddick, who could certainly help this pass rush. Should the Eagles bring him back? And some retaliation tonight. But Vic Fangio got our attention here because you talked about the pass rush there, Hugh, but then he was asked about Bryce Huff because Bryce Huff's snap count was lower than, you know, a guy like Brandon Graham. Why? What does he have to do to get on the field more? Here was Vic Fangio just a few minutes ago.
What's Bryce need to do to play more?
You know, just separate himself from the other guys.
Look at Coach Fangio keeping it a buck.
Well, two things hit me there. Obviously, the line, he needs to separate himself from other guys. But did you guys notice that little pause there? Like he had to think about what he was going to say?
I will say this. As a guy, that and I've said this to you, Joe, when we've just in the break. Like, he's playing. I feel like having him over there at left defensive end, playing left defensive end on first and second down, he's getting comfortable because he doesn't know he doesn't understand the reads. It's a lot going on over there, man. I've never played over there, but the times that they did try to stick me over there, I protested. I was like, nah, I ain't trying to be, you know what I mean? I ain't trying to be over here.
That dog went hunting.
It's a lot going on, man. And I feel like he's been put in a situation because of the money that he makes. And plus, Coach Fangio, like, he was signed before Coach Fangio got here.
No, he wasn't. Fangio
he wasn't. It was about the same? Okay. Because, yeah. I was trying to figure out if that was the case.
No, but I mean, look, doesn't mean Fangio wanted him.
Yeah.
I mean, Howie may have done his own thing.
Okay, but so I feel like he has to learn how to, either he needs to learn how to play left defensive end, or they need to move him to the right, and make Sweat play the left end.
Here's my concern. In this segment, brought to you by Matt Blatt Mitsubishi. Give Matt Blatt an at-bat. Hugh, my concern with what I just heard from Vic Fangio there, because you remember the other day when Sirianni spoke about this? Remember what he said? It was the flow of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the kind of the formations, the flow of the game, quick game from the Green Bay Packers, all that kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm.
That was the reason why we had more snaps for Brandon Graham. That's not what Vic Fangio is telling me there.
So he got to separate himself.
He's got to separate himself. You got the head coach saying it was the flow of the game. Now the defense coordinator, who really is obviously in charge, who's out in the field on defense, is saying, well, he's got to separate himself. It's not a good thing that a $51 million player who's in his prime, how old is Huff, 26? I'm guessing he's about 26. He's not just above Brandon Graham right now. Like, Kyle, the defensive coordinator just told us that as of today, the $51 million player hasn't separated from the $4 million 36-year-old.
Yeah, well, I mean, the snap counts showed that, didn't they? Like, I don't know.
But now we have to, like, what Sirianni said the other day is out the window.
Of course, yeah.
Like, the defensive coordinator said it wasn't the flow of the game. It was he's not separating himself.
I knew that Vic was going to give us
honesty.
gave us a gem.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a really, really bad feeling that he seems like he's not the biggest fan of Bryce Huff. And, like, I can't help but feel worse by the day that we let Hassan Reddick walk. And now we have this dude
who
can't
Bryce
even play
Huff,
all three downs.
Bryce Huff's issue is that, like, he's thrown into a situation. And hey, I don't know what was said. But, like I said, playing that left defensive end spot, it's a lot going on over there. And he's not the biggest guy. Like, when I see I was about to say Jalen. But when I see Brandon over there, Brandon's a bigger guy. He understands the run fits. Brandon was interchangeable, so he understands how he fits in the defense. Bryce doesn't get that yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
And
it's a work in progress, man.
And, like, now all this stuff about, because when we did let Hassan Reddick go, everyone's like, oh, he doesn't play the run. Well, you know what he does? He at least gets to the freaking quarterback. Huff's doing neither.
He did one thing really, really well. And now we don't have either of that. All right, would you guys say this is a fair statement right now, today, like in this moment? I'm not saying 15 weeks from now. Right now, today, either Josh Sweat or Brandon Graham is our lead edge rusher. Is that fair to say? Today.
It's not who?
Josh Sweat or Brandon Graham is our lead edge rusher.
Yes.
Okay. I just would like to reel off the names of the top edge rushers on the other NFC Super Bowl contenders. Aiden Hutchinson, Micah Parsons, Nick Bosa. we have Brandon Graham and Josh Sweat. It doesn't feel like it evens out there.
No, it don't.
Okay.
It don't. And again, I feel like this pass rush is a work in process, a work in progress. I believe that Bryce is going to get better. I think that you also have to help Bryce get better by putting him in position to be successful early on. I think being thrown into that situation, man, as a guy who's done it, it's not easy. It's a lot. Like, if you understand blocking schemes and things like that, man, left end and right end are two totally different animals. I remember when Michael Strahan came into the league, couldn't play right defensive end. He was a right defensive end at Texas Southern. He's bringing heat. Couldn't play over there because it was a different animal. Moving to left defensive end, he becomes a Hall of Famer. Mm. It's just that different. Like, Michael Strahan, if you go back and look it up, he was on his way out of the league. They thought he was a bust until they moved him to left defensive end. And he thrived at that position because he didn't have the ability or the skill set to play on the backside.
So why do you think this hasn't happened yet? I mean, Vic knows what you know, right? Like,
I don't know if he know what I know.
Mm.
No. And not trying to.
I didn't mean.
I didn't mean it. Like, no disrespect to him. But it's like.
But Vic probably has seen other ends.
Oh, you mean
ends.
Not. You know what? When you said Vic, I thought you meant. I was thinking about Bryce. But no, Vic does know what
Vic
I know.
Vic Fangio, he's seen a million defensive ends that are probably similar to this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this could be a switch he flips soon here?
That's the thing that I don't know for sure, and no disrespect to Coach Fangio because I got the names confused, but that I don't know that for sure, Joe, because I feel like this. In a small sampling size, a lot going on. I feel like they had a game plan going in, and I still feel like this, that when it got out of hand and they got behind early, you go with what's comfortable.
Mm.
Brandon Graham's played a lot of football. Brandon Graham understands a lot of football.
He's the known.
He's the known commodity. And he probably said, hey, OG, I might need you come, you know, Friday night. And that's where it became. Because Brandon, when he was out there, man, he understands the run fits. He plays more physical. And that's the one thing that Bryce Huff didn't do. He was slipping and sliding. And he didn't understand the run fits from the perspective of playing that position. Because there was a lot going on that way. Like, man, I'm telling you, when that tight end's over there, you can't be, as I do it with my hands again, that like everybody can see me. You can't line up so wide that you leave a natural gap between you and that defensive tackle.
You're inviting them to run the ball.
You're inviting them to run the ball over there. Because if you're lined up, if you're a defensive lineman, man, if you're a defensive end, and you line, if you're lining up, say if the tight end has wide splits, or if he lines up a little bit wider, they're naturally widening you out because you're trying to be, say if you're trying to be on his outside shoulder. Then you got the tackle, as I use my hands again, you got the tackle, and you got the tight end, and you got like a five-yard gap between that. That's a natural hole. And the linebacker can't cover all of that. He can't cover. Like, you have to at least be in between the tackle and the tight end. And let me tell you what happens when you do that. It gets physical. It gets like, what's that Olivia Newton-John song? We gonna get physical. Yeah. It gets physical over there, man. Everybody can't play over there. Everybody cannot play that position. Hell, it's a lot because you got the tackle read. You got the tight end that can block down on you. You got that tackle that pull. And guess what? When they do all of that, if that tight end blocks down on you, guess what you got to do? You got to leverage him. You got to push out because the play, if he's blocking down, the play is coming that way.
This sounds like a lot more work than, hey, it's 3rd and 9. Just go get the quarterback.
It is. Like, that's what I said. I'm like, dog, you're a smaller guy, and you're sitting out there. And I was like, hey, it's a different animal. First and second down, a different animal than third down. You got to do all of that. And this fit, Joe, it gets so physical over there, man. Especially when that tight end over there, he trying to whoop on you. And then you sit up there, they say, oh, it's third down, money down. And you're a little tired because you'd have had to fight. You'd have had a physical confrontation. Mm-hmm. It's a little different.
Yeah.
A little different.
Well, they need to figure this out. And I guess that's why Brandon Graham's still ahead on the depth chart. 215-592-9494. We're back to your phone calls here. We'll get to something Vic Fangio said about Devin White. Where is he now in the mix of linebacker coming up in a few minutes? Terrence Springfield. Hey, Terrence.
There we go, man. Hey, Joe, I'm blaming this on – I sent Kyle a picture. I'm in Westchester, man, delivering – And I'm bucking near a lot of trees, man. The call be dropping out here, man.
Always pass the buck.
I like that's what it's we not, do. Yeah, that's good. Blame Westchester. I like it. All right, Terrence, what are you feeling?
We definitely have to pay these guys back. I was telling Kyle, who was Tampa Bay? Like, they haven't done anything since we whooped their ass in the World Series. Like, this team, you're messing with somebody's livelihood when you hit somebody with a baseball. So you know how they say eye for an eye? We got to give them a ball for a ball, man. We got to hit them back.
Ball for a ball.
That's right.
Ball I'm okay ball, with that. Dude. Ball for a ball.
Balls get sweaty.
I think Willard's going to be the one to do it. I think Willard's more respectable. I think it'll come, if we do it, it'll come from one of the relief pitchers. But I think we do got to do it, man. And on Hassan Reddick, we got to bring Hassan home.
Bring him home.
He doesn't want to play for the Jets. The Jets don't want to pay him. I feel like he's going to end up sitting out the whole season and wasting a year of his career. So I feel like we need to bring how he work his magic, bring him over here, because I don't want to go through the season. We saw Jordan Love, man. He wasn't touched until, I think, the fourth quarter when I think he hurt his ankle.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't touched the whole game. I don't want to be in shootouts where a quarterback is sitting back there all day, reading the newspaper, going to the bathroom. And I don't need a quarterback doing that the whole game and we're being in shootouts. So we got to get a pass rush going. I say bring him on home, man. He's a hometown kid. Pay this guy his money, man, and bring him on home.
Bring him home, Terrence. Good phone call, man. We appreciate it. Third time was a charm with Terrence with his phone there. So, Terrence hit something there that really would go down as an all-time joke if it happens.
What's that?
If Hassan sits out the whole season, which means he loses money by the week.
$14 million, ain't it?
The Jets trade for a player that does not help them at all. And the Eagles need a pass rush for the whole season and don't have one. Like,
nobody wins.
It would be a lose-lose-lose for everyone. And there's a very simple solution, and we're trying to get Hugh to see this today. Mm-mm. It's to bring him back.
No, I don't see it that way. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I don't see it that way. I think that Bryce Huff, like, he's not getting the ring in the door from the coach. That's obvious.
No, he's not.
But there's still value in Bryce Huff. It's on Coach Fangio. Give him the respect that he deserves. It's on Coach Fangio to find a way to make Bryce Huff productive. Now, there might be a conversation that is had where, you paid him too much to be a one-trick pony, but damn it, he can rush the passer. Now, like I said, I understand. I love Coach Fangio, but you need to figure out, Coach, how to get the most out of Bryce Huff. And if that means moving pieces around to get him out there to be successful, then you need to do that. I understand. I like the fact that you're sitting in press conferences talking and being transparent and everything, but damn it, he's making $52 million or whatever it is. It's on you to get him ready.
I do wonder, now that you said this, at 215-592-9494 to hop in, I do wonder when you said, you were kind of thinking through the chronological order of when Fangio got here versus when they signed.
Yeah.
I do wonder when it happened, like when free agency opened, was Fangio on board with Howie and said, we got to get this
guy?
Or was it Howie saying, this is a young player, I think he's ascending, my department thinks he's ascending, let's get him. And Vic said, all right. But because if Vic was leading the charge, then I'm like, hey, Vic, what did you see that now we can't do? But if it was all Howie, then I could be like, I can understand why Vic is like, you gave me someone who's not ready to play.
Yeah, because I was, it kind of felt like that, Joe, because when you talk about who Bryce Huff is, like, first of all, I think Coach Fangio's a good coach. You have to know who you're dealing with. You have to know what you have in a player. And again, practice is different than real live drills. And I remember when Sugar Bear, my coach, Ray Hamilton, Ray would sit me down and help me understand the different dynamics, the different nuances of the game that, I didn't know at the pro level. And one of the things, like I always talk about, is he's like, hey, man, you have to be able to read your run keys. You have to be able to read your keys. If you know a tight end is over there, if a tight end is blocking down on you, the play is coming your way. That's common sense. So you have to leverage that. You can't go down. You can't let him wash you down. You got to stay outside, and you have to hold leverage, because if he blocks you down, he's going to the next level to cut off the linebacker. That's what they're trying to do. Or somebody's pulling to get to the next level to get the linebacker. So what you have to do, you have to leverage that and make him run the hump. They just call it running the hump. Like, you can't let that tight end. You should never, as a defensive lineman, Tight end should never beat you. You should beat that tight end's ass every time that he lines up over. You beat him like a drum. You beat him like a drum. That was a self-edit there.
I know.
But yeah. So it's one of those things when I watch Bryce play in a small sampling size, he's just out there not really fully understanding what it is to be in the position that he's in. Now, can he get better? Yes. But it's probably going to take some time. But until that happens, just put him out there on third down. Let him rush. Let him do what he's comfortable with and then work him back in that way.
Yep. Kyle, if I know the Eagles' damage control like I think I do, we're 2 to 3 weeks away from a story coming out on whose idea it was to sign Bryce Huff and what Fangio thought from the start.
And they're all going
to
be pointing fingers at each other. We'll be having calls about blaming Howie and fire him. And Sirianni.
Oh, we're not far from this.
Nope.
We're not far from. Well, I don't know which side it'll be. I'm not sure if it'll be, hey, Vic was on board and now for some reason he's not, or Vic never wanted him. How we got him? What are you going
to
do?
That's what I was trying to figure out, because I was like, wait a minute. I was trying to figure out the timeline. Good catch on that one. But it was like, because if he's your guy, like, you do what you can to get your guy on the field. You know?
Right. If
you got to get it, you got to. But you have to figure out a way, because what we all want to happen is not going to happen. Let's just call that what it is.
Reddick?
He ain't coming
back.
No,
we can.
You got to figure out. You got to figure out a way how to squeeze the juice out of that orange or apple.
Or you go back
or
to the store.
Not really so much apples.
It's not apples.
You can't squeeze apple. Well, you could.
Well, there's
juice
apple juice.
You can try.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
But it's not like an
puree.
Orange.
Wait,
you're pureeing apples?
I don't know, man. I'm confused. I'm a little confused.
All right, Jim in Center City's up. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Hugh. There's a great artist named Philip Phillips, and he sings a song called Home. Mm-hmm. And in the lyrics it says, I'm coming home to the place I call my own. Bring Hassan home, Hugh. Bring him home.
I hear you. Bring hey, Jim. Home.
Speak, Jim.
Jim.
Preach, Jim.
Jim, I hear you. I love you. That dog is not going to hunt. That dog is not going to hunt.
We're going to make that dog hunt. We're going to keep barking until it happens. Trying.
Yo, you can keep barking all you want. That ain't going to happen. That ain't about to happen.
Based upon what Fangio was saying about Huff on the edge and what you saw as a professional defensive end, I think it's becoming more and more realistic. We bring Hassan home.
Yeah, you got to figure out. You got to figure out how to put Hassan in position to be successful. I mean, not Hassan, Bryce. Y'all got all these names running around.
The dog that's not hunting right now is Bryce Huff for whatever reason. Like that's the issue right now, Jim.
Without question, on the Phillies, on the retaliation, Hugh, 1980, George Brett at the plate, Dickie Knowles, high and tight, change the series. Phillies win the World Series 1980. I'm not saying you have to give Chim Music anymore. That's not PC anymore. But you don't have to hit him. Just pitch real nice inside with a two-seamer, 92 miles an hour. That sends the message. That's what the Phillies should do tonight.
It does, Jim. It does change the message.
See, I'm looking at this.
You watch the Dickie Knowles moment?
Yeah, I'm watching it. I'm about to watch it.
He was queuing it up here. Jim,
I just want to see real fights back in the day when men were men.
Oh, there's some good ones. I'll give
just
you a list.
Remember this, guys. Just remember this. A lot of the national media say, what happened to Philly fans? They getting soft? We're not soft.
Not on WIP, Jim.
Give me a little tight tonight. Let's get back to Philadelphia.
A little tight tonight sounds all right.
Jim, appreciate it, man. We got you.
Ooh.
You see that one?
Ooh.
See, that's baseball right there, Hugh. And Jim said it right. It doesn't have. There's a lot of ways you could do it. You go,
hey.
You throw behind him, you throw in his back. 92.
George,
you watching this one?
No.
George Brett?
His life flashed before.
Yeah, George Brett did. Yeah, he was not happy about the whole thing. Let's talk to Josh at Wilmington. Hey, Josh.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
What's going
hey,
on?
Hey, Josh.
So there's a perv Griffin sighting. I heard that there. Holy moly! Tight Hugh and the chuckle. That's funny. So
you know it makes you kind of perverted when you kind of call in and point it out,
man.
Though
it's hysterical. I love it. Keep doing it. So listen,
you point it out though.
I'm with you.
It's innuendo because we probably
about?
Got kids in the car, so we like to keep it like grown. But you kind of
keep it grown. I got you. Keep it grown. So I'd like to make a public service announcement to everybody out there listening.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of the rearview mirror and start looking through the windshield. Could we? What are we talking about Hassan Reddick for? That ain't going to happen. That dog ain't going to hunt, in Hugh's words, in Kyle's words, in Joe's words. Stop. right?
Yeah, but it could happen, Josh. It could happen. I mean,
you know, the hypothetical about a guy that's been nothing but a curmudgeon when it comes to his money, I don't want him.
Well, don't you want sacks? Don't you want to hit the quarterback?
Yeah, you know what? Let's wait and see. Let's let Fangio coach this guy up, right? Like, what are we doing?
Hold on. I understand it's early. I understand it's early. But we are a full training camp and week one, and Vic Fangio just told us he's not above
– We're calling it training camp.
You call it whatever you want.
Come on.
Vic Fangio just told us as we enter week two that he's not above Brandon Graham on the depth chart. Brandon Graham is on a retirement tour.
Because guess what? He's going to say that to light a fire under him, dude.
I think he's just telling the truth.
He's not telling the truth.
I mean, it's truth right now. It is the truth right now. It's the truth as of today.
Well,
it's the truth. But we play Monday.
Is he trying to send a message to the whole team? Or to Huff, because he's going to use Brandon Graham, who's been in the league 15 years, to help motivate him?
I tell you what. If I'm Bryce
Josh,
Huff.
Josh, we appreciate it, buddy.
If I'm Bryce Huff and my defensive coordinator say, I'm going to have this 36-year-old dude that is on his retirement tour play over you, I'm feeling some kind of way. So I'm going to give him to Monday. Like I said, he's on notice till Monday. Well, he's on notice to Tuesday because he's going to be on the ISO cam. He knows he's on the ISO cam.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I said, I've been through this. I remember when I was in New York, first game I told you about, we played the Miami Dolphins, did not sniff the quarterback. Don't even know what kind of cologne Dan Marino had on because I didn't get that close to him.
And they wrote about how you were bust.
Yeah, and they start it was loud. And I remember going into that second game, I think it was the Patriots. Same thing. Who was it? I can't remember the tackle's name. Big sloppy dude, but he was nice. He was nice, and I remember like I started to feel it. And then you know the worst part about being in a situation like that when you're pass rushing and not the pass rusher is like when you walk into work, you know everybody talking about you. Mm-hmm. I felt like that twice in my whole entire life.
So you've lived this?
Yes, I felt like that. What I tell you about when I got the second time, and then I felt like that when I got fired from ESPN when I walked in the office. I was like, oh, yeah, this coming.
Well, that was the folder, the HR folder.
Yeah.
All right, 215-592-9494. Your phone call's coming up here. Should the Phillies retaliate tonight? I say yes, absolutely. And I want to trade for Hassan Reddick back. It's a disaster. The Jets bring him back. More from your phone calls next. And Vic Fangio, an interesting response to a question about Devin White. You'll hear it next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We're coming up at 1. Elliot Shore Parks, his reaction to Vic Fangio, Kellen Moore speaking today. The Week 1 victory, and of course, looking ahead now, Week 2 Monday Night Football against the Atlanta Falcons. All right, before we go back to the phones here, Hugh, Vic Fangio also was asked today about the Devin White situation, which was bizarre in Week 1, right? That ankle injury out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Then he stayed in North America. They went to South America. Well, question to Vic today is, all right, what's the status of White? And when he's healthy, is he a starter? Here is how Vic answered that one.
Do you think Bobby Dean did enough to start again should Devin White not be ready? Or will he start even if Devin White is ready?
No, Kobe's the starter.
And that's that. So Devin White is
I love Coach Fangio.
Period.
He's just a matter of fact. Yeah, he's just a matter of fact kind of guy.
So Devin White's a backup player now. That's where we're at.
As far as Coach Fangio's concerned, I feel like listening to Coach Fangio talk. Coach Fangio is the type of coach that puts a heavy emphasis on practice reps, and somebody that if you don't show me in practice, you probably ain't gonna get a chance to show me in the game. Like that's what it feels like. You know, and like I said, in a small sampling size in that game Friday night, when it hit the fan, Coach Fangio went to what he knew. He went because at that point, you know, we're trading possessions like crazy. And we dodged a couple bullets by giving up just 6 points with our back against the wall. And Coach Fangio was like, listen, I need to go with somebody who I know understands these situations and can get it done. Because like I said, man, like if you're a defensive end playing left defensive end, you lining up that wide, you're creating a natural hole in the defense. Can't do that. If you're the outside linebacker, you gotta understand where to line up at, your run fits and all the other stuff. And it feels like just watching that game that Bryce is still trying to figure it out.
I think the next question with the Devin White scenario is he active as a backup
player?
Boy,
I wish somebody would give me $3 million to be deactivated every Sunday.
Now, a lot of times, Hugh, with backup linebackers, they end up being a big core part of the special teams, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't know this. We have to look into this. I'm not sure because Devin White used to be a star on the Bucs, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if he's a special teamer, too. If he's a special teamer, too, then, okay, I think he could be active even if he's not starting. If he's not much part of the special teams, I'm not sure he's going to be active.
Yeah, but you got to figure out, again, you got to figure out what you're going to do with him. You know, because you gave him a lot of money. And I know it's like people say, oh, that's not a lot of money. But you want to try to get some type of return on your investment. And if he can come in and play special teams, then he'll probably have to do that.
Well, that's his role, you would think, right now. Or he's deactivated. If he's not playing a special team, he's not playing.
But, Joe, I just find it real interesting that this buddy took all the snaps, like every last one of them, and now he's relegated to, he's a mystery.
There was something about the directness of Vic's comment too. N'Kobe's the starter, like almost like that's it. No more of these questions. Devin White, whatever. Like N'Kobe Dean and Zach Bond are my starting linebackers. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Greg in Elkins Park. Hey, Greg.
Hey, gentlemen. Third time's a charm here today. Mentioned earlier, I'm a 3-for-4. I'm not an emotional train wreck, like you had referenced earlier.
When he you-peopled all of us? Yeah,
yeah, I was wrong for that. Yeah. I was in the moment.
I can bring some clarity here. There's no need to put a free runner on base tonight. We're the team in the dominant position. No need to hit this guy tonight for who, for what. If it's a different team, if it's the Mets this weekend, if it's the Braves, if it's a team that's going to be in the playoffs, that's a different story. But we can be dismissive of this point of Tampa Bay. It's irrelevant. I don't think teams around the league are watching to see who gets around the league or seeing who gets hit by a pitch tonight. Let's focus on one game at a time.
Well, and that's a fair point. It's not a team you're going to see again, right? It's the last time they're going to see the Rays until next season. And Greg, for me, it's not about the Rays. Like they're whatever, right? They're a nondescript team. We couldn't even name half their starters. They're just that kind of team this season. So it's not about them. I do actually think other teams around the league would notice. I'm not sure if they're watching a highlight tomorrow like we are, but word gets around. Like you can throw inside on the Phillies and they're not going to retaliate, or you can't.
Phillies are soft.
Yeah, I don't want to be soft, Greg.
He hit us in the hip. Not a big deal. We punched them in the mouth. you know, when we put five runs up in the eighth inning. You know, that's the punch in the mouth.
Well, and it could happen again tonight. Yeah, and they could do it that way. And, Greg, I understand, again, and we appreciate the call. Yes, I'm not saying the relief pitcher for Tampa last night went headhunting on Castellanos, but he hit him on purpose.
Yeah, he was a little bit upset. He was definitely frustrated because it gives you more. Well, you know, he was really frustrated because that, if I'm not mistaken, that's the fastest pitch he's thrown all year.
Yeah, and he went and lied in the postgame and said it was his changeup.
Oh, my bad, yeah.
Yeah, it was my changeup. It was the fastest pitch you've thrown all season. It wasn't your changeup. Don't lie to us. Let's talk to Naheem in Atlantic City. Hey, Naheem.
How's everything, guys? Good afternoon, guys.
What's going on,
Naheem,
man?
Hey, Naheem, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on? I wanted to call in regards to both topics with the Phillies and this Hassan Reddick and Bryce Huff situation.
What do you think? Let's start with the Phillies. We retaliating tonight, Naheem?
I think we should definitely put our foot on their necks and just show them why we're the best baseball team in the East, right, in the National League, for sure. Now, with regards to the caller, Allen, we said Willer can try to give us a good lead in the beginning innings, and then Walker come in and hit one of these guys. Look, I agree with all that. Just in regards to they do something to one of your guys, you definitely got to teach him a lesson. So I definitely agree with that caller.
An eye for eye. And I like that. Make Taijuan Walker earn his keep on this team. Go hit somebody there. All right, what are you thinking on Hassan Reddick? We bringing him home?
Look, I would love to, but I think it's week one. So you invest that amount of money into a guy like Bryce Huff, you got to give him an opportunity to show his worth. He's a younger guy, so we definitely should look into that now with Reddick. We don't need him going to a rival team, so please don't let him go to Dallas. Please don't let him go to Washington. But I see him, they came to guys, so I see him possibly going down south more, probably going to Florida. But I doubt he'd come back to us, so we got to put our trust in Huff. That's all I can say.
Our trust in Huff. Naheem, good phone call. I mean, he wants to be like you. Just wait and see and hope and pray.
Well, when I say wait and see, that's like what, 3-4? For more days, you know
that
what I mean?
Leash is getting tighter.
You know, because I mean, you have to produce, man. I mean, it's something different being a player that's been in the league for a while as opposed to a rookie. You know what I mean? That was my rookie year, and I felt the pressure as a rookie being in New York. You know, people looking at you sideways, like that's a lot, and you have to like, dude, they gave you a ton of bread, and people are going to look at you to justify that bread. Like, you ain't even show up for the most part. Like, you had flashes, but you ain't even show up on film.
Well, and then the Fangio stuff makes it adds another layer to it, right? Like, if Fangio came out today and say, Bryce is doing great. Bryce is, the numbers will come. We believe in that. That wasn't what we heard today. 215-592-9494. We'll get your phone calls up here. We got room for you to hop in. The Phillies, should they retaliate tonight? I say absolutely. Send a message to baseball that this isn't acceptable, that Castellanos got plunked on purpose. Hit a Ray back tonight and go sweep the series. Hassan Reddick, I want the Eagles to call the Jets back and say, hey, let's make a deal.
We made a mistake.
We both made a mistake. Let's fix it. Let's bring him back, pay him, get him back on the team. Your phone calls, all that. 215-592-9494. And Elliot will join us next with his reaction to what Fangio said, and we'll look ahead to the Falcon game. Up next, Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
...of the pass rush.
We didn't pass rush good enough overall in the game. You know, did the field have something to do with that? Yeah, it obviously did. But, overall, we couldn't get better there.
Vic Fangio talking today about the pass rush as the Eagles get ready for week two against the Atlanta Falcons. Welcome back to the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio with you. All right, so Fangio speaking there. We'll get back to all your phone calls on Hassan Reddick, who could certainly help this pass rush. Should the Eagles bring him back and some retaliation tonight? But Vic Fangio got our attention here because you talked about the pass rush there, Hugh, but then he was asked about Bryce Huff because Bryce Huff's snap count was lower than, you know, a guy like Brandon Graham. Why? What does he have to do to get on the field more? Here was Vic Fangio just a few minutes ago.
What's Bryce need to do to play more?
You know, just separate himself from the other guys.
Look at Coach Fangio keeping it a buck.
Well, two things hit me there. Obviously, the line, he needs to separate himself from other guys. But did you guys notice that little pause there? Like he had to think about what he was going to say?
I will say this. As a guy, that and I've said this to you, Joe, when we've just in the break. Like, he's playing, I feel like having him over there at left defensive end, playing left defensive end on first and second down, he's getting comfortable because he doesn't know he doesn't understand the reads. It's a lot going on over there, man. I've never played over there, but the times that they did try to stick me over there, I protested. I was like, nah. I ain't trying to be, you know what I mean? I ain't trying to be over here.
That dog, that dog went hunting.
It's a lot going on, man. And I feel like he's been put in a situation because of the money that he makes. And plus, Coach Fangio, like, he was signed before Coach Fangio got here.
No, he wasn't. Fangio
he wasn't. It was about the same? Okay. Because, yeah. I was trying to figure out if that was the case.
No, but I mean, look, doesn't mean Fangio wanted him. I mean, Howie may have done his own thing.
Okay, but so I feel like he has to learn how to either he needs to learn how to play left defensive end or they need to move him to the right, and make Sweat play the left end.
Here's my concern in this segment brought to you by Matt Blatt Mitsubishi. Give Matt Blatt an at-bat. My concern with what I just heard from Vic Fangio there, because you remember the other day when Sirianni spoke about this? Remember what he said? It was the flow of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the kind of the formations, the flow of the game, quick game from the Green Bay Packers, all that kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm.
That was the reason why we had more snaps for Brandon Graham. That's not what Vic Fangio is telling me there.
So he got to separate himself.
He's got to separate himself. You got the head coach saying it was the flow of the game. Now the defense coordinator, who really is obviously in charge, who's out in the field on defense, is saying, well, he's got to separate himself. It's not a good thing that a $51 million player who's in his prime, how old is Huff, 26? I'm guessing he's about 26. He's not just above Brandon Graham right now. Like, Kyle, the defensive coordinator just told us that as of today, the $51 million player hasn't separated from the $4 million 36-year-old.
Yeah, well, I mean, the snap counts showed that, didn't they? Like, I don't know.
But now we have to, like, what Sirianni said the other day is out the window.
Of course, yeah.
Like, the defense coordinator said it wasn't the flow of the game. It was he's not separating himself.
I knew that Vic was going to give us
honesty.
Gave us a gem.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a really, really bad feeling that he seems like he's not the biggest fan of Bryce Hoff. And, like, I can't help but feel worse by the day that we let Hassan Reddick walk. And now we have this dude
who
can't
even
play all three downs.
Bryce Huff's issue is that, like, he's thrown into a situation. And hey, I don't know what was said. But, like I said, playing that left defensive end spot, there's a lot going on over there. And he's not the biggest guy. Like, when I see I was about to say Jalen. But when I see Brandon over there, Brandon's a bigger guy. He understands the run fits. Brandon was interchangeable, so he understands how he fits in the defense. Bryce doesn't get that yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
And
it's a work in progress, man.
And, like, now all this stuff about, because when we did let Hassan Reddick go, everyone's like, oh, he doesn't play the run. Well, you know what he does? He at least gets to the freaking quarterback. Huff's doing neither.
He did one thing really, really well. And now we don't have either of that. All right, would you guys say this is a fair statement right now, today, like in this moment? I'm not saying 15 weeks from now. Right now, today, either Josh Sweat or Brandon Graham is our lead edge rusher. Is that fair to say? Today.
It's not who?
Josh Sweat or Brandon Graham is our lead edge rusher.
Yes.
Okay. I just would like to reel off the names of the top edge rushers on the other NFC Super Bowl contenders. Aiden Hutchinson, Micah Parsons, Nick Bosa. We have Brandon Graham and Josh Sweat. It doesn't feel like it evens out there.
No, it don't.
Okay.
It don't. And again, I feel like this pass rush is a work in process, a work in progress. I believe that Bryce is going to get better. I think that you also have to help Bryce get better by putting him in position to be successful early on. I think being thrown into that situation, man, as a guy who's done it, it's not easy. It's a lot. Like, if you understand blocking schemes and things like that, man, left end and right end are two totally different animals. I remember when Michael Strahan came into the league, couldn't play right defensive end. He was a right defensive end at Texas Southern. He's bringing heat. Couldn't play over there because it was a different animal. Moving to left defensive end, he becomes a Hall of Famer. Mm. It's just that different. Like, Michael Strahan, if you go back and look it up, he was on his way out of the league. They thought he was a bust until they moved him to left defensive end. And he thrived at that position because he didn't have the ability or the skill set to play on the backside.
So why do you think this hasn't happened yet? I mean, Vic knows what you know, right? Like,
I don't know if he know what I know.
Mm.
No, and not trying to.
No, I didn't mean.
I didn't mean it. Like, no disrespect to him. But it's like.
But Vic probably has seen other.
Oh, you mean
ends.
Not? You know what? When you said Vic, I thought you meant. I was thinking about Bryce, but no, Vic does know what
Vic
I know.
Vic Fangio, he's seen a million defensive ends that are probably similar to this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this could be a switch he flips soon here?
That's the thing that I don't know for sure, and no disrespect to Coach Fangio because I got the names confused, but that I don't know that for sure, Joe, because I feel like this. In a small sampling size, a lot going on. I feel like they had a game plan going in, and I still feel like this, that when it got out of hand and they got behind early, you go with what's comfortable.
Mm.
Brandon Graham's played a lot of football. Brandon Graham understands a lot of football.
He's the known.
He's the known commodity. And he probably said, hey, OG, I might need you come, you know, Friday night. And that's where it became. Because Brandon, when he was out there, man, he understands the run fits. He plays more physical. And that's the one thing that Bryce Huff didn't do. He was slipping and sliding. And he didn't understand the run fits from the perspective of playing that position. Because there was a lot going on that way. Like, man, I'm telling you, when that tight end's over there, you can't be, as I do it with my hands again, that like everybody can see me. You can't line up so wide that you leave a natural gap between you and that defensive tackle.
You're inviting them to run the
ball. Over there. Because if you're a defensive lineman, man, if you're a defensive end, and you line, if you're lining up, say if the tight end has wide splits, or if he lines up a little bit wider, they're naturally widening you out because you're trying to be, say if you're trying to be on his outside shoulder, then you got the tackle, as I use my hands again, you got the tackle, and you got the tight end, and you got like a five-yard gap between that. That's a natural hole. In the linebacker can't cover all of that. He can't cover. Like, you have to at least be in between the tackle and the tight end. And let me tell you what happens when you do that. It gets physical. It gets like, what's that Olivia Newton-John song? We gonna get physical. Yeah. It gets physical over there, man. Everybody can't play over there. Everybody cannot play that position. Hell, it's a lot because you got the tackle read, you got the tight end that can block down on you. You can got that tackle that pull. And guess what? When they do all of that, if that tight end blocks down on you, guess what you got to do? You got to leverage him. You got to push out because the play, if he's blocking down, the play is coming that way.
This sounds like a lot more work than, hey, it's 3rd and 9. Just go get the quarterback.
It is. Like, that's what I said. I'm like, dog, you're a smaller guy and you're sitting out there. And I was like, hey, it's a different animal. 1st and 2nd down, a different animal than 3rd down. You got to do all of that. And this fit, Joe, it gets so physical over there, man. Especially when that tight end over there, he trying to whoop on you. And then you sit up there, they say, oh, it's 3rd down, money down. And you're a little tired because you'd have had to fight, you'd have had a physical confrontation. Mm-hmm. It's a little different.
Yeah.
A little different.
Well, they need to figure this out. And I guess that's why Brandon Graham's still ahead on the depth chart. 215-592-9494. We're back to your phone calls here. We'll get to something Vic Fangio said about Devin White. Where is he now in the mix of linebacker coming up in a few minutes? Terrence Springfield. Hey, Terrence.
There we go, man. Hey, Joe, I'm blaming this on. I sent Kyle a picture. I'm in Westchester, man, delivering. And I was bucking near a lot of trees, man. The call be dropping out here, man.
Always pass the buck.
I like that's what it's we not, do, yeah. That's good. Blame Westchester. I like it. All right, Terrence, what are you feeling?
We definitely have to pay these guys back. I was telling Kyle, who was Tampa Bay? Like, they haven't done anything since we whooped their ass in the World Series. Like, this team, you're messing with somebody's livelihood when you hit somebody with a baseball. So you know how they say eye for an eye? We got to give him a ball for a ball, man. We got to hit him back.
Ball for a ball.
That's right.
Ball for I'm okay ball, with that. Dude. Ball for a ball.
Balls get sweaty.
I think Willard's going to be the one to do it. I think Willard's more respectable. I think it'll come – if we do it, it'll come from one of the relief pitchers. But I think we do got to do it, man. And on Hassan Reddick, we got to bring Hassan home.
Bring him home.
He doesn't want to play for the Jets. The Jets don't want to pay him. He don't want to – I feel like he's going to end up sitting out the whole season – and wasting a year of his career. So I feel like we need to bring Howie, work his magic, bring him over here because I don't want to go through the season. We saw Jordan Love, man. He wasn't touched until I think the 4th quarter when I think he hurt his ankle.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't touched the whole game. I don't want to be in shootouts where a quarterback is sitting back there all day, you know, reading the newspaper, going to the bathroom. And I don't need a quarterback doing that the whole game and we're being in shootouts. So we got to get a pass rush going. I say bring him on home, man. He's a hometown kid. Pay this guy his money, man, and bring him on home.
Bring him home, Terrence. Good phone call, man. We appreciate it. Third time was a charm with Terrence with his phone there. See, Terrence hit something there that really would go down as an all-time joke if it happens.
What's that?
If Hassan sits out the whole season, which means he loses money by the week.
$14 million, ain't it?
The Jets trade for a player that does not help them at all. And the Eagles need a pass rush for the whole season and don't have one. Like,
nobody wins.
It would be a lose-lose-lose for everyone. And there's a very simple solution, and we're trying to get Hugh to see this today. Mm-mm. It's to bring him back.
No, I don't see it that way. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I don't see it that way. I think that Bryce Huff, like, he's not getting the ring in the doors from the coach. That's obvious.
No, he's not.
But there's still value in Bryce Huff. It's on Coach Fangio. Give him the respect that he deserves. It's on Coach Fangio to find a way to make Bryce Huff productive. Now, there might be a conversation that is had where, you know, you paid him too much to be a one-trick pony, but damn it, he can rush the passer. Now, like I said, I understand. I love Coach Fangio, but you need to figure out, Coach, how to get the most out of Bryce Huff. And if that means moving pieces around to get him out there to be successful, then you need to do that. I understand. I like the fact that you're sitting in press conferences talking and being transparent and everything, but damn it, he's making $52 million or whatever it is. It's on you to get him ready.
I do wonder, now that you said this, at 215-592-9494 to hop in, I do wonder when you said, you know, you were kind of thinking through the chronological order of when Fangio got here versus when they signed.
Yeah.
I do wonder when it happened, like when free agency opened, was Fangio on board with Howie and said, we got to get this
guy?
Or was it Howie saying, this is a young player, I think he's ascending, my department thinks he's ascending, let's get him. And Vic said, all right, but because if Vic was leading the charge, then I'm like, hey, Vic, what did you see that now we can't do? But if it was all Howie, then I could be like, I can understand why Vic is like, you gave me someone who's not ready to play.
Yeah, because I was it kind of felt like that, Joe, because when you talk about who Bryce Huff is, like, first of all, I think Coach Fangio's a good coach. You have to know who you're dealing with. You have to know what you have in a player. And again, the practice is different than real live drills. And I remember when Sugar Bear, my coach, Ray Hamilton, Ray would sit me down and help me understand the different dynamics, the different nuances of the game that, you know, I didn't know at the pro level. And one of the things, like, I always talk about is, he's like, hey, man, you have to be able to read your run keys. You have to be able to read your keys. You know, if you know a tight end is over there, if a tight end is blocking down on you, the play is coming your way. That's common sense. So you have to leverage that. You can't go down. You can't let him wash you down. You got to stay outside, and you have to hold leverage, because if he blocks you down, he's going to the next level to cut off the linebacker. That's what they're trying to do. Or somebody's pulling to get to the next level to get the linebacker. So what you have to do, you have to leverage that and make him run the hump. They just call it running the hump. Like, you can't let that tight end. You should never, as a defensive lineman, tight end should never beat you. You should beat that tight end's ass every time that he lines up over. You beat him like a drum. You beat him like a drum. That's a self-edit there.
I know.
But yeah. So it's one of those things. When I watch Bryce play in a small sampling size, he's just out there not really fully understanding what it is to be in the position that he's in. Now, can he get better? Yes. But it's probably going to take some time. But until that happens, just put him out there on third down. Let him rush. Let him do what he's comfortable with, and then work him back in that way.
Yep. Kyle, if I know the Eagles' damage control like I think I do, we're 2 to 3 weeks away from a story coming out on whose idea it was to sign Bryce Huff and what Fangio thought from the start.
And they're all going
to
be pointing fingers at each other.
We'll be
having calls about blaming Howie
and
fire him and Sirianni.
Oh, we're not far from this.
Nope.
We're not far from. Well, I don't know which side it'll be. I'm not sure if it'll be, hey, Vic was on board and now for some reason he's not, or Vic never wanted him. How we got him? What are you going
to
do?
That's what I was trying to figure out, because I was like, wait a minute. I was trying to figure out the timeline. Good catch on that one. But it was like, because if he's your guy, like, you do what you can to get your guy on the field. You know?
Right. If
you got to get it, you got to. But you have to figure out a way, because what we all want to happen is not going to happen. Let's just call that what it is.
Reddick?
He ain't coming back.
No, we can.
You gotta
force the issue.
You gotta figure out a way how to squeeze the juice out of that orange or apple.
Or you go back
or
to
not,
the store
not really
and you
so much apples.
It's not apples.
You can't squeeze apple. Well, you could.
Well, there's
juice
apple juice.
You can try.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
You but it's not like an
puree.
Orange.
Yeah,
you're pureeing apples.
I don't know, man. I'm confused. I'm a little confused.
All right, Jim in Center City's up. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Hugh. There's a great artist named Philip Phillips, and he sings a song called Home. Mm-hmm. And in the lyrics, it says, "I'm coming home to the place I call my own. Bring Hassan home, Hugh. Bring him home."
I hear you.
Bring
hey,
him
Jim.
Home.
Speak, Jim.
Jim.
Preach, Jim.
Jim, I hear you. I love you. That dog is not going to hunt. That dog is not going to hunt.
We're going to make that dog hunt. We're going to keep barking until it happens. Trying.
Yo, you can keep barking all you want. That ain't going to happen. That ain't about to happen.
Based upon what Fangio was saying about Huff on the Edge and what you saw as a professional defensive end, I think it's becoming more and more realistic. We bring Hassan home.
Yeah, you got to figure out how to put Hassan in position to be successful. Yep. I mean, not Hassan, Bryce. Y'all got all these names running around.
The dog that's not hunting right now is Bryce Huff for whatever reason. Like that's the issue right now, Jim.
Without question, on the Phillies, on the retaliation, Hugh, 1980, George Brett at the plate, Dickie Knowles, high and tight, change the series. Phillies win the World Series 1980. I'm not saying you have to give Tim Music anymore. That's not PC anymore. But you don't have to hit him. Just pitch real nice inside with a two-seamer, 92 miles an hour. That sends the message. That's what the Phillies should do tonight.
It does, Jim. It does change the message.
See, I'm looking at this.
You watch the Dickie Knowles moment?
Yeah, I'm watching it. I'm about to watch it.
He was queuing it up here. Jim,
I just want
right.
to see real fights back in the day when men were men.
Oh, there's some good ones. I'll give
just
you a list.
Remember this, guys. Just remember this. A lot of the national media say, what happened to Philly fans? They getting soft? We're not soft.
Not on WIP, Jim.
Give me a little tight tonight. Let's get back to Philadelphia.
a little tight tonight sounds all right.
Jim, appreciate it, man. We got you.
Ooh.
You see that one?
Ooh.
See, that's baseball right there, Hugh. And Jim said it right. It doesn't happen. There's a lot of ways you could do it. You go,
hey.
You throw behind him, you throw in his back. 92.
George,
you watching this one?
No.
George Brett?
His life flashed before.
Yeah, George Brett did. Yeah, he was not happy about the whole thing. Let's talk to Josh at Wilmington. Hey, Josh.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
What's going
hey,
on?
Hey, Josh.
So there's a Perv Griffin sighting. I heard that there. Holy moly. Tight Hugh and the chuckle. That's funny. So
you know, it makes you kind of perverted when you kind of call in and point it out,
man.
Though.
It's hysterical. I love it. Keep doing it. So
but you point it out, though.
I'm with you.
It's innuendo because we probably
about?
Got kids in the car, so we like to keep it like grown. But you kind of
keep it grown. I got you. Keep it grown. So I'd like to make a public service announcement to everybody out there listening.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of the rearview mirror and start looking through the windshield. Could we? What are we talking about Hassan Reddick for? That ain't going to happen. That dog ain't going to hunt, in Hugh's words, in Kyle's words, in Joe's words. Stop. Right?
Yeah, but it could happen, Josh. It could happen. I mean,
you know, the hypothetical about a guy that's been nothing but a curmudgeon when it comes to his money, I don't want him.
Well, don't you want sacks? Don't you want to hit the quarterback?
Yeah, you know what? Let's wait and see. Let's let Fangio coach this guy up. Right? Like, what are we doing?
I understand it's early. I understand it's early. But we are a full training camp and week one, and Vic Fangio just told us he's not above...
We're calling it training camp, Joe? We're calling it training camp?
You call it whatever you want.
Come on.
Vic Fangio just told us as we enter week two that he's not above Brandon Graham on the depth chart. Brandon Graham is on a retirement tour.
Because guess what? He's going to say that to light a fire under him, dude.
I think he's just telling the truth.
No, he's not telling the truth.
I mean, it's true right now. It is the truth right now. It's the truth as of today.
Well,
it's
sure.
the truth,
it's
but we play Monday.
You.
We play Monday.
Is he trying to send a message to the whole team or to Huff because he's going to use Brandon Graham, who's been in the league 15 years, to help motivate him?
I tell you what. If I'm Bryce
Josh,
Huff.
Josh, we appreciate it, buddy.
If I'm Bryce Huff and my defensive coordinator say, I'm going to have this 36-year-old dude that is on his retirement tour play over you, I'm feeling some kind of way. So I'm gonna give him to Monday. Like I said, he's on notice to Monday. Well, he's on notice to Tuesday, because he's gonna be on the ISO cam. He knows he's on the ISO cam.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I said, I've been through this. I remember when I was in New York, first game I told you about, we played the Miami Dolphins. Did not sniff the quarterback. Don't even know what kind of cologne Dan Marino had on, because I didn't get that close to him.
And they wrote about how you were bust.
Yeah, and they start and it was loud. And I remember going into that second game, I think it was the Patriots. Same thing. Who was it? I can't remember the tackle's name. Big sloppy dude. But he was nice. He was nice. And I remember, like, I started to feel it. And then, you know, the worst part about being in a situation like that, when you're pass rushing and not the pass rusher, is, like, when you walk into work, you know everybody talking about you. Mm-hmm. I felt like that twice in my whole entire life.
So you've lived this.
Yes. I felt like that when I tell you about when I got the second time, and then I felt like that when I got fired from ESPN when I walked in the office. I was like, oh, yeah, this coming.
Well, that was the folder, the HR folder.
Yeah.
All right, 215-592-9494. Your phone call's coming up here. Should the Phillies retaliate tonight? I say yes, absolutely. And I want to trade for Hassan Reddick back. It's a disaster. The Jets bring him back. More from your phone calls next. And Vic Fangio, an interesting response to a question about Devin White. You'll hear it next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back to the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillie, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Coming up at 1, Elliot Shore Parks, his reaction to Vic Fangio, Kellen Moore speaking today. The Week 1 victory, and of course, looking ahead now, Week 2 Monday Night Football against the Atlanta Falcons. All right, before we go back to the phones here, Hugh, Vic Fangio also was asked today about the Devin White situation, which was bizarre in Week 1, right? That ankle injury out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Then he stayed in North America. They went to South America. Well, question to Vic today is, all right, what's the status of White? And when he's healthy, is he a starter? Here is how Vic answered that one.
Do you think Kobe Dean did enough to start again should Devin White not be ready? Or will he start even if Devin White is ready?
No, Kobe's the starter.
And that's that. So Devin White is
I love Coach Fangio.
Period.
He's just a matter of fact. Yeah, he's just a matter of fact kind of guy.
So Devin White's a backup player now. That's where we're at.
As far as Coach Fangio's concerned, I feel like listening to Coach Fangio talk. Coach Fangio is the type of coach that puts a heavy emphasis on practice reps, and somebody that if you don't show me in practice, you probably ain't gonna get a chance to show me in the game. Like that's what it feels like. You know, and like I said, in a small sampling size in that game Friday night, when it hit the fan, Coach Fangio went to what he knew. He went because at that point, you know, we're trading possessions like crazy. And we dodged a couple bullets by giving up just 6 points with our back against the wall. And Coach Fangio was like, listen, I need to go with somebody
mm-hmm.
who I know understands these situations and can get it done. Because like I said, man, like if you're a defensive end playing left defensive end, you lining up that wide, you're creating a natural hole in the defense. Can't do that. If you're the outside linebacker, you gotta understand where to line up at, your run fits and all the other stuff. And it feels like just watching that game that Bryce is still trying to figure it out.
I think the next question with the Devin White scenario is he active as a backup player?
Boy, I wish somebody would give me $3 million to be deactivated every Sunday.
Now, a lot of times, Hugh, with backup linebackers, they end up being a big core part of the special teams, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't know this. We have to look into this. I'm not sure because Devin White used to be a star on the Bucs, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if he's a special teamer, too. If he's a special teamer, too, then, okay, I think he could be active even if he's not starting. If he's not much part of the special teams, he's going to be active.
Yeah, but you got to figure out, again, you got to figure out what you're going to do with him. You know, because you gave him a lot of money. And I know it's like people say, oh, that's not a lot of money. But you want to try to get some type of return on your investment. And if he can come in and play special teams, then he'll probably have to do that.
Well, that's his role, you would think, right now. Or he's deactivated. If he's not playing a special team, he's not playing.
But, Joe, I just find it real interesting that this buddy took all the snaps, like every last one of them, and now he's relegated to, you know, he's a mystery.
There was something about the directness of Vic's comment too. N'Kobe's the starter. Like, almost like, that's it. No more of these questions. Devin White, whatever. Like, N'Kobe Dean and Zach Bond are my starting linebackers. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Greg in Elkins Park. Hey, Greg.
Hey, gentlemen. Third time's a charm here today. Mentioned earlier, I'm a 3-for-4. I'm not an emotional train wreck, like you had referenced earlier.
When he you-peopled all of us? Yeah,
yeah, I was wrong for that. Yeah. I was in the moment.
I bring some clarity here. There's no need to put, you know, a free runner on base tonight. We're the team in the dominant position. No need to hit this guy tonight for who, for what. If it's a different team, if it's the Mets this weekend, if it's the Braves, if it's a team that's going to be in the playoffs, that's a different story. But we can be dismissive of this point of Tampa Bay. It's irrelevant. I don't think teams around the league are watching to see who gets around the league or seeing who gets hit by a pitch tonight. Let's focus on one game at a time.
Well, and that's a fair point. It's not a team you're going to see again, right? It's the last time they're going to see the Rays until next season. And Greg, for me, it's not about the Rays. Like, they're whatever, right? They're a nondescript team. We couldn't even name half their starters. They're just that kind of team this season. So it's not about them. I do actually think other teams around the league would notice. I'm not sure if they're watching a highlight tomorrow like we are, but word gets around. Like, you can throw inside on the Phillies and they're not going to retaliate, or you can't.
Phillies are soft.
Yeah, I don't want to be soft, Greg.
He hit us in the hip. Not a big deal. We punched them in the mouth, you know, when we put 5 runs up in the 8th inning. You know, that's the punch in the mouth.
Well, and it could happen again tonight. Yeah, and they could do it that way. And, Greg, I understand, again, and we appreciate the call. Yes, I'm not saying the relief pitcher for Tampa last night went headhunting on Castellanos, but he hit him on purpose.
Yeah, he was a little bit upset. He was definitely frustrated because it gives you more. Well, you know, he was really frustrated because that, if I'm not mistaken, that's the fastest pitch he's thrown all year.
Yeah, and he went and lied in the postgame and said it was his changeup.
Oh, my bad, yeah.
It was my changeup. It was the fastest pitch you've thrown all season. It wasn't your changeup. Don't lie to us. Let's talk to Naheem in Atlantic City. Hey, Naheem.
How's everything, guys? Good afternoon, guys.
What's going
on,
Naheem, man?
Hey, Naheem. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on? I wanted to call in regards to both topics with the Phillies and this Hassan Reddick and Bryce Huff situation.
What do you think? Let's start with the Phillies. We retaliating tonight, Naheem?
I think we should definitely put our foot on their necks and just show them why we're the best baseball team in the East, right, in the National League, for sure. Now, with regards to the caller, Allen, we said Willis can try to give us a good lead in the beginning innings, and then Walker come in and hit one of these guys. Look, I agree with all that. Just in regards to they do something to one of your guys, you definitely got to teach him a lesson. So I definitely agree with that caller.
An eye for eye. And I like that. Make Taijuan Walker earn his keep on this team. Go hit somebody there. All right, what are you thinking on Hassan Reddick? We bringing him home?
Look, I would love to, but I think it's week one. So you invest that amount of money into a guy like Bryce Huff, you got to give him an opportunity to show his worth. And he's a younger guy, so we definitely should look into that now with Reddick. We don't need him going to a rival team, so please don't let him go to Dallas. Please don't let him go to Washington. But I see him, the Camden guy, so I see him possibly going down south more, probably going to Florida. But I doubt he'd come back to us, though. We got to put our trust in Huff. That's all I can say.
Our trust in Huff. Naheem, good phone call. I mean, he wants to be like you. Just wait and see and hope and pray.
Well, when I say wait and see, that's like what, 3-4? Four more days, you know.
That
what I mean?
Leash is getting tighter,
you know. Because I mean, you have to produce, man. I mean, it's something different being a player that's been in the league for a while as opposed to a rookie. You know what I mean? That was my rookie year, and I felt the pressure as a rookie being in New York. You know, people looking at you sideways, like that's a lot, and you have to like, dude, they gave you a ton of bread, and people are going to look at you to justify that bread. Like, you ain't even show up for the most part. Like, you've had flashes, but you ain't even show up on film.
Well, and then the Fangio stuff makes it adds another layer to it, right? Like, if Fangio came out today and say, Bryce is doing great, Bryce is, the numbers will come. We believe in that. That wasn't what we heard today. 215-592-9494. We'll get your phone calls up here. We got room for you to hop in. The Phillies, should they retaliate tonight? I say absolutely. Send a message to baseball that this isn't acceptable, that Castellanos got plunked on purpose, hit a Ray back tonight, and go sweep the series. Hassan Reddick, I want the Eagles to call the Jets back and say, hey, let's make a deal.
We made a mistake.
We both made a mistake. Let's fix it. Let's bring him back, pay him, get him back on the team. Your phone calls, all that. 215-592-9494. And Elliot will join us next with his reaction to what Fangio said, and we'll look ahead to the Falcon game. Up next, Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.